today. Very happy to have an interview that I recorded with two members of Flat Lonesome down in Raleigh this year at the IBMA Week of Festivities. When Runaway Train, their third album, came out, I had Dominic Illingsworth and Michael Stockton on the show, and I'd had the album for a while by then, and just a lot of excitement. And I think what you're going to, the follow-up then to that interview is Kelsey and Paul today, and you're going to find out that, number one, I believe we will know in the future, we will look back at Runaway Train as a breaking point where Flat Lonesome became a major contributor to bluegrass music. Not that they haven't been, but there's stuff that will come out in this discussion with Kelsey and Paul that you will realize that they recognize this is a special event for them also. It's a wonderful album, Runaway Train. Top of the next hour, we're going to talk to Kelsey Robertson Hargle, and you're going to see why. It's not just talent. They have a definite business sense of what they're doing, and they're very dedicated to what they're doing, and it shows in the results of Flat Lonesome, Flat Lonesome 2, and Runaway Train, I think, is going to be a breaking point for them, where they're going to reach that higher level of bluegrass bands, and I don't think they're ever coming back down again. I think they're going to get up there, continue to improve and mature. Everyone in the band is under 25. Coming up at the top of the hour, Kelsey and Paul from Flat Lonesome. I do enjoy this band so much. Flat Lonesome is going to be around for a long time. They're just starting to hit their stride. Right now, it's the top of the hour, as I promised, and here is Kelsey Robertson Hargle and Paul Hargle of Flat Lonesome, and a little visit that we had in Raleigh, North Carolina, just the end of October, beginning of October, 2015.
Very happy to welcome to Unreal Bluegrass members of one of my new most favorite bands, Flat Lonesome. How are you guys doing? Tell me first who you are so the people know.
I'm Paul with Flat Lonesome.
I'm Kelsey.
Good.
We're very honored to be here. Thank you for having us.
Well, thank you for being around. I have absolutely enjoyed the heck out of Flat Lonesome.
Thank you.
And I only just got to see you. He's handing out your CDs right now.
Who is that guy?
Who's that guy?
Some guy stole some of
them. Oh, my gosh. Stop that tie. Wait a minute. I put his name on the show. Yeah, that's all right. It's happened before. And I was so happy because I had never seen you guys perform. And I've got Flat Lonesome. I've got Flat Lonesome 2, which is T-O-O.
Right.
And I got this one through guys like that about a month ago. And I've been listening to it forever. And I knew every song on it. I was so glad to get to see you. And I saw you guys yesterday at a Mountain Home showcase here at IBMA.
Yeah, that the showcase was a lot of fun. They put on a good thing there with... it was ourselves and Darren and Brooke Aldridge, the Grind Schools, Chris Jones, and it turned out really well. You had Boston Rangers there, and it was just a lot of fun.
What kind of a crazy lineup is that just for showing up at a room? I mean, that's a strong lineup up and down all the way.
We've got a great record label. They know how to pick them, and they've got great ones. And that was leaving out some great ones as well.
Oh, sure.
Duel Austin wasn't able to be there yesterday. Bands like that. So, LRB. Some of the guys were there, but the whole band wasn't able to be there, and we're very fortunate to be on the label with such great names.
I agree, and I think the label is very fortunate to have you guys.
Well, thank you.
I really mean that. I love, and let me ask you this. Do you think that Runaway Train, I've had a little bit of discussion with this about some of your other band members, do you think that Runaway Train, the new album, which is it out on the street?
Tomorrow,
okay, good.
October 2nd.
October 2nd. Do you think this album is... It's not, I don't want to say it's, how would you describe it compared to the other two? I know there's a lot more original material on here. I feel like this is almost like a quantum leap. Am I overstating the importance of what I think is in Runaway Train?
No, we feel the same way.
Okay.
Not to, it's not in a sense of patting ourselves on the back.
No.
In comparison to the other two albums, I've described it in different interviews as cohesive. It's really what we are as a group, and we're not showcasing ourselves. We literally spent so much more time on arrangements with this album. Had Jeff Collins, who works at our studio, who's an incredible musician and an incredible singer, come in and help us on vocals. And it's something that we feel and other people feel like is our strong point, but we still don't feel like we always want help. We always feel like we can improve in areas. So vocally, we wanted another set of ears in there to say, hey, when you've sung with someone for so long, you get comfortable, you know where you're going to move, you know what the next person's going to sing, you know what it's going to sound like. So we wanted Jeff in there to really listen to it and say, hey, why don't you try this here? Why don't you try something different, you know, and really kind of push us to do that. And it helped tremendously. And I think that this album is very intense. I think there's some pretty deep stuff in here, and some of it you might have to.
I'm shaking my head, yes. And I do that, let me know, but I agree with you. Go ahead and interrupt.
No, that's pretty much, you know, the extent of it. Cohesive and intense, that's pretty much what I would say about it.
Another cool thing about Jeff is he's very diverse, and he knows bluegrass and what it sounds like, but he comes from a southern gospel side, which was really cool to add that kind of element, especially on some of the slower gospel songs and all that. Like, it's he came up with a lot of unique things for the vocals and stuff to do that you might not hear in a typical bluegrass kind of sense.
Right.
Yeah. And you're right. I mean, taking nothing away from the banjo player, because I think you have good instrumentals also, and I play banjo, so I was watching you yesterday also. So, and I think the band is strong musically, but without a doubt, what absolutely leaps off of this album, the vocals are just, they're stunning.
Thank you very much.
And I know you've sung with your siblings for a long time, and you recognize that there's this incredible, I hate to overuse the concept of a family harmony sound, but I think as a matter of fact, your voices resonate the same, and there's a quaver. Everybody's voice has a kind of a quaver. At some point, they kind of line up because of the family connection. You think I'm right on that?
I agree with that.
So you recognize that when you've also brought someone in to help you with vocal arrangements, because the reason is you want to get better and better.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, I feel like when we reach a comfort level, it's time to say, okay, we've got to reevaluate.
That's great.
We've got to do something different.
That's right.
And,
oh, that's great.
And just try to keep improving. You know, sometimes we'll reach a plateau where we are like, we're just trying to take a breath. You know, we're trying to just kind of sail through for a little bit. And I think it's okay to do that sometimes. It's okay to just be content with where you're at, but we don't want to stay there very long. We want to keep going, which is why I think that we are where we are. I mean, in any normal situation, I don't feel like a band would be playing and presenting awards 4 years into their career.
Right.
And that's mostly because, you know, God's really blessed us, and He's given us this talent, and He's given us the opportunities that we've been given. It's not a secret that a lot of music is knowing the right people and being in the right place at the right time.
And taking advantage of those opportunities.
Right, yeah, and we've got a manager who does not stop. Our manager and our booking agent are the same person, and she does everything for us. You know, she is the reason why we were here last year on Tuesday morning at 9 o'clock ready for seminars. You know, she said we printed out a schedule. It was probably 4 pages long for the entire week. Last year we played 9 shows in a matter of 5 to 6 days, and went to countless seminars and just met people. You know, she's serious about it. She's serious about networking.
And her name is?
Andrea Roberts.
And she just won?
Yes. She won the Mentor Momentum Award yesterday.
Cool.
And so we all celebrated last night, went to dinner, and she doesn't do well with people celebrating her, but I told her she didn't have a choice. So.
Well, it's great, and Runaway Train is just, it just blows, the whole thing blows my mind. And it is. And this is what I wanted you to say, and you went right to it. I think this is, you're still finding it, but I think this album represents finding your identity.
I think
we felt for the first time that this is more of a representation of who we are, you know, what we want to be.
Right.
You know, and like you said, I mean, it's a never-ending
search. And don't ever let it end.
Right.
Keep searching and pushing.
So I think we're one step closer to where we want to be, and hopefully, like you said, it never ends.
No, don't ever let it. You're right, and it's a young band. I mean, you were joking on...
We're all in our teens.
Well, you're not. No, you're not. One of you may be, but you're not. But you were joking yesterday about having two old guys are 25-ish.
Exactly.
So the fact that you've done so much so early, and the fact that you already recognize that you can't just show up and be talented, that you have to keep refining and honing your skills. And you guys are onto that right away.
Well, we appreciate the positivity for sure, and we did start out very early, and I think sometimes that's good, but sometimes it makes you have to work harder, because when we started out, it was cute. You know, we were.
I love this, but I love what you're telling me. It's great. Go ahead.
I was 20, 21 years old when we started. My brother and sister and Dominic, our bass player, were still in high school. And that was when we won Stigma, the band competition in Nashville. And so, you know, at that point, we were completely new. Our family's not in the music industry. So it wasn't like, well, this is, you know, Bill Monroe's grandkids or something, you know. So, you know, in that aspect, we did have to push ourselves to be known. Like, hey, we're here. Watch us, you know.
Right.
Listen to what we've got to say. And but then, you know, a couple of years go by and everybody's out of high school. And the young ones of the group are 20 years old and we're aging a little bit, getting more albums out there. And now that people know who we are, it's not cute anymore. You know, if you don't take it seriously, people are going to walk all over you.
Right.
Because everybody wants it. And we understand that. So we just have to show them that we want it more.
Listen, this is great. This is very frank. And you have a good handle on what the business end of, what you love doing the music, but you also recognize it's a business.
It is. And
a lot of this goes back to Andrea. She's been around so long. She knows how it needs to work, and she's taught us, and she's still teaching us on our jobs and the roles that we need to be doing and how serious things need to be. So she's the backbone of it.
We came into this wanting to just play music. We were just like, well, if we could make a little bit of money, enough to have dinner, you know, and play music,
wouldn't that be cool? Yeah, that'd be cool.
And then we got into it seriously, and we've got an accountant. I didn't think I would ever have an accountant, you know, and we're an LLC, and you're talking about bills and rights to music. I'm like, what goes through someone's mind to steal someone's song? That is beyond me, you know. So you have to learn things like that, and you have to literally work a full-time job to play 45 minutes on the weekend, you know.
Right.
And I told Andrea, I said, dadgummit, if I'd have known I had to work, I would have done something else, you know.
I could get another job.
Yeah, so, but, I mean, it beats sitting at a desk, and we love it. We honestly, we love the work part of it. We love the riding down the road for 20-something hours every weekend.
Oh, yes,
and
great.
Paul does it because he actually has to drive.
Oh, okay.
I sleep in rehab,
yeah.
You know. So
I sleep when I drive.
Yeah, but we love it.
But just a little bit.
Just a little. Only one eye at a time.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. So I've learned a lot. I've learned business, and I've learned relationships, and I've learned music. And, you know, the music is the fun part, but it's also the most personal part of it. And with as much original material as we try to put out, makes it even more personal. This Runaway Train album has 7 originals on it, more than half of this CD, which to me is one of our biggest accomplishments as a band, because we don't just put original material on our album because it's original. I think when bands do that, you know that's what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
They feel like, hey, well, this is original, so it has to go on the album.
Right.
And we have never done that. We have songs still sitting at home because we just don't feel like they're good enough, or they don't fit.
Right.
This Runaway Train is an album that I think, again, it's cohesive, and it's all the songs fit together. It all kind of, it tells a story to some aspect, you know. And so we have an instrumental on there, which we've never recorded before, mm-hmm. because we didn't ever feel like it was time. We felt like we had more to say at that point, different things that we wanted to get across to people. And we felt like it was time for people to know that we're not just singers.
Right.
We have people in our band who are great instrumentalists.
Absolutely.
Paul, who kind of ticks me off, and he can play everything, you know. So, but yeah, that's kind of it. I mean, we've learned so much, and, you know, I write the checks in the band, I pay the bills, and nobody...
She's the most important player.
You know, the jobs that I had leading up to this, I never knew that I would need that to get into this. I worked for Chick-fil-A for 7 years and was one of the managers in the stores and dealt with money and deposits and things like that, that I was like, I mean, this is cool, but I never knew I would need that when
it winds up, the business exposure winds up being important.
Yeah, definitely.
What's the B on the hat?
Boston.
Right.
It's really just a hat for me. It's
a
comfortable hat.
Right.
And I've tried to find another one, and every time I do, I go back to this one.
Well, this is at the showcase yesterday. I do this now. I watch the bands, and I always move up close to the front. And a lot of times, stand along the wall because I like to watch the audience because
mm-hmm.
I know what I'm hearing, and I've seen you, and I like to turn around. The audience was yesterday, and I'm sure this happens a lot. They were really focused. There wasn't a lot of people, doing different stuff or looking at their phones. When you guys were playing, the audience was tuned into you 100%. I don't know that you get to see that all the time on stage because you have other stuff to do, but I'm telling you, that's part of what I do when I go to concerts is watch the band, and then I like to watch the audience. And like I say, you had them in the palm of your hand, but you certainly had their attention.
That's the greatest thing for us. I mean, we love what we do, but to go do that and then people enjoy it and recognize what we do. Like, we have 2 nominations this year, so that's so humbling to know that people enjoy what we do.
And I'll let you go because I'm taking more time than I'm supposed to on these things, but you're nominated for
Vocal Group of the Year and Album of the Year for Flat Lonesome 2.
Okay.
Yeah.
Great.
Because of the banjo work, I think.
Exactly.
To me, it was the driving banjo concept.
Right. The vocal just got in the way.
People happen to sing around it so that you run
away.
All right. Well, I will tell you this. Runaway Train is going to be back here next year. I will bet you money that you'll be back, and you'll be waiting for Thursday or whenever awards night is.
I'm going to hold you to that.
All right. If I don't deliver, and we go to the website, is easy enough, Flat Lonesome.
FlatLonesome.com.
They can find the new album, which comes out tomorrow.
October 2nd, yes.
And then they can see where you're going to be following your tour schedule. Wow, this is great. Thanks so much for dropping by.
Thank you.
All right, see you.
Hope you have a sense now of course you do, of the great sound and musicianship and singing that goes into Flat Lonesome, but from Kelsey and Paul, we visited with for a bit down in Raleigh, you can tell they have an idea. They have talent, first of all. They have an idea of what they're going to do and how they're going to achieve it, and they're going about this very, very intelligently. They're going to have great success. I think you're going to see more and more good things come out of them. As young as they are, they feel like this is the first album, Runaway Train, which really is sort of a statement of who they are. It's going to continue to develop, as they said. As Kelsey was saying, we've sung together forever as siblings, but we bring in vocal coaches to help us maybe look at different things and consider different things. When you're that good and you're still looking to improve, only good things are going to happen. Thanks again to Kelsey Robertson-Hargle and Paul of Flat Lonesome for visiting me down in Raleigh, North Carolina, and you got to hear it today. Great, wonderful, terrific future for Flat Lonesome, and their presence pretty daggone good right now